Blog Talk Radio.
Philosophy Show. This is Thomas, your host. It's November 5th, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we have the show Wednesday nights, Thursday mornings for half an hour. It's a call-in show, and the show is called The Philosophy Show. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy, and today's show is titled The Future. And warning, there's some spoiler alerts, and the subtitle is, For Those Who Care, How Can We Make the World a Better Place? And the answer to that, and I think as of now, almost anything that you're trying to build and obtain is to build momentum, just little things at a time. You know, I mean, some people feel that, what can we do? I can't make any difference. Why vote? Some might say it doesn't really matter anyways. And, you know, I'm just, some people feel like they have a lot in life. Not a lot, but, you know, they have their lot in life, whatever it might be. I mean, you know, like they're thrown into this world like a dog without a bone, an actor without a loan. You know, so I can tell you the future is whoever's creating the most momentum. That's the trend. And you can think about 3 days in the future, 30 minutes in the future, 300 years, 3,000 years. And so participating in this show, listening and calling in, etc., and just in philosophy itself is building momentum. You know, some people build momentum with the strategy of problem, reaction, solution. And you know, we, the people who want to make the world a better place, might not all agree on exactly what that looks like to get to the promised land, per se. However, there are some things that we all can agree upon that we should build off of those things. You know, it's a lot easier to build off the things that, you know, the left and right both agree upon, which we haven't solved yet. And then we can work on those differences, because that is the Bill of Rights. That is the Constitution. I mean, the reason why there hasn't been an additional amendment to the Constitution in a while, one of the reasons, is because there's so few things that we all agree upon in the entire country, the entire world. But there are a few things, like the freedom of speech, as everyone says, the freedom of religion, to express yourself, to organize. We all agree upon that. So that's an easy one. We agree that you have a right to defend yourself, whether in courts or in actual person. And if you have to defend yourself in courts, that you have certain rights. And those are the rights. You know, we agree that if you're old enough to go to war, you should be old enough to vote. So we changed the voting age to 18. And we all agree upon certain things as slippery slopes. Now, What you think is your slippery slope might be your issue, your passion. You know, whatever you think might be a slippery slope. Like, do we all have equal rights? Is equal rights under the law true justice? Who should be excluded? Should it be based on being a human being? In the future, those questions might be relevant, whether it's artificial intelligence or, you know, if we evolved to this intelligence, wouldn't it be a matter of time before other beings do? Or what if we explore other planets? Or what if other planets explore us? You know, what we allow to be done to others is what will be allowed to be done to us. What if we are challenged with philosophical questions of justice about, let's say, humanely treating animals or humanely treating other humans that we interact with even more so? Let's just go with the treating other humans for the sake of argument. What if every time we justify kidnapping people and, let's say, put them in Guantanamo Bay and stuff like that, creatures from another dimension see that as a green light or a justification to do the same thing to us? Because they see, oh, well, these people are doing that to those people, so, you know, maybe we have a right to kidnap them and experiment them. I don't know. That's not where I'm going in this conversation, but these are principles. It doesn't matter what the story is or how science fiction it might sound. Science fiction is just an exercise of principle. And just like it doesn't matter if you're doing a math problem where that train is headed or if there's even a train at all, the bottom line is the math, which is the principles. So you could replace the characters, but the storyline remains the same. You know, and so some things that we can do, some things that we all agree upon, some things that can build that momentum to build that future, to get to the promised land, the gold, the streets paved in gold, and et cetera, is what's worth fighting for. Is it our lot in life? Or should we try to obtain a lot? Not a lot, but a lot. As in one word, not two separate words. Should we try to beat the odds, in other words? And, I mean, is there an argument saying like, oh, the odds are against you? You shouldn't even try. You should just focus on what's more likely. And what is more likely? Things are only more likely the more that they remain the same. But if we start building momentum in a few years or decades, we might be where we want. And notice I say a few years or decades because I think the quick gratification is something that, you know, might mess people up. Now, not to say momentum might not build quicker than you imagine. And this could be true for anything, whether it's dieting or quitting a bad habit or creating a new good one. And one of the ways to get there is to find agreements in the things that we agree upon, to acknowledge that foundation, to build a coalition, to recognize, you know, that we can communicate and we can see the same thing and that we know we can have a conversation, especially with people we disagree upon, but that you can still talk to and hopefully try to build a network of freedom and take the ground. You have to build momentum. If you want to change things in the world, you have to little by little build momentum. You don't think calling one congressperson a week or something is anything? Well, at the least, it's building momentum. What do you have time for? Do you not have time sometime in the day? to make your voice heard, whether it's on a blog talk radio post or to call your congressperson or to boycott this product or to, you know, write a letter to the editor or in some chat or post or wherever. That's one thing we can do, is to find those commonalities and build off of that and recognize it when you meet someone. Another thing is to want to build momentum, to beat those odds, to change those odds. And another thing is to reach for objectivity, to not just see everything as a subjective peripheral, but to view things objectively from outside yourself and try to see, because that's how that subjective reality becomes an objective reality, based on that foundation that we all objectively, actively acknowledge. You know, like the freedom of speech, we can all agree upon that, and that's an objective thing. True justice is objective. That's what objective is, in a sense. It could be justice. Not that all justice is objective and everything objective has to do with justice, but justice, in some sense, if not a lot, is objective. You know, when you go into court, the only true justice is objective means, like the way, you know, you're supposed to have equal defense versus prosecution, the way you're supposed to have certain rules, like knowing what you're being accused of, having evidence presented against you, having a jury of your peers, having a fair trial with due process. We can all agree upon that, and that's objective, because it's not just to try to prosecute someone because they're accused something, or to defend someone if they're saying they're innocent. It's to find the truth. And then that's the only way we can have justice and to be fair. And so that's something in the future, is to try to be objective. Don't just try to see things from your point of view. Try to find the objective reality between all of us and work on those small but very important things. I mean, that's civilization. That's civilized. That's harmony versus blind, misguided aggression. And another thing is kind of what I've heard as is self-sustainability. You know, do what you can to be more sustainable, and spread that message of growing your own food, trying to find lands, trying to get off the system, off the grid, and be self-sustainable. And of course, to inform yourself. What really bugs me out is when we hear about things after the fact. Oh, today in the news, the TPP just passed. Oh, thanks for telling us after the fact. It's in a conference. We can still, they're not allowed to add any more amendments to it. It passed, but it still has to pass like both houses in the conference. So this is one of those treaties that the forefathers of the Constitution warned us about, that would, in essence, make international corporations above the law. You know, being able to shut down websites for copyright infringement without any trials, justice, and law. Being able to sue countries for stupid stuff like, hey, your country passed a law saying that you have to be at least 18 to buy cigarettes. Well, according to our calculations, if you actually didn't have that law, we would have $20 million more in sales. So we're going to sue you for that lost market because you passed this law. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? So that's the type of thing that's the TPP is all about. It's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's what your representatives in Congress are doing in your name. Sometimes it's not just, you know, what, and another thing about, let me continue on this, being self-sufficient, because being self-sufficient is about respecting individual rights It's about respecting people's rights to be self-sufficient. I mean, I have no problem with public options, you know, for Social Security, Medicare, and stuff like that. I know, well, anyways, I was going to say, I know what I'm saying sounds libertarian, but forget all those labels. Sometimes liberals are the biggest conservatives, you know. Sometimes they're trying to conserve things like jobs that are no longer relevant in today's society, instead of looking towards future public options that would help even more. Instead of all these programs, they could just do away with all of them and just guaranteed annual income. I mean, it's the same amount of money. Instead of them choosing how people spend it, why not just give it to the people and let them vote in the free market, vote for which dollars they want to spend for which products would be better. It would have a free market impact. It would reward certain businesses versus others and open up new business. And I think that would be better than the system we have now. I mean, maybe everyone has a guaranteed annual income of $25,000. And Milton Friedman supported something like that. So did Richard Nixon at one point. We need public banks. But to be fair to libertarians we should still allow competing currencies and bartering and all that stuff. You know, let it all be legal. But with our public banking system, and I found this really cool new YouTube site. Let me look it up here. You can visit my YouTube channel, youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And if you go there and click on the channels icon and click see all, you'll see all my favorite channels. Like if I owned the news network, these are the ones I'd put on there. But this channel is called Public Banking TV. And they have a lot of interesting, good ideas. So I'd recommend checking that out. But so to be self-sustainable is also respecting individual rights. And here's another way. If you don't want guilt by association, you also cannot get praise by association. They both go hand in hand. Now, I don't think you should have either. I don't think people should have guilt by association. They should be treated as individuals. You can't go wrong treating every single person as an individual. Some might say it might not be as efficient, but actually in the long run, it is. And that's how you build momentum too. People this generation shouldn't bear the guilt of people they never knew in past generations. But then again, on the opposite side of that, people from this generation shouldn't be able to artificially, superficially, you know, get the praise from people from past generations as well. They need to stand on their own merits. Of course, right? Does that make sense? And so think about that, because you have some people accusing white people these days of being guilty for the Native American slaughters and slavery. And there's lots of groups in all different areas, but you also have some white supremacists trying to claim praise for being the same race as Isaac Newton or Leonardo da Vinci. You had nothing to do with that, okay? Just like you had nothing to do with the other things, but you do have something to do and everything to do with who you decide to be now. And so either way is just as bad, and it totally doesn't recognize the principle of individuals and living objectively. And so another thing to think about is, you know, after you inform yourself, how to present yourself. And the only way to be consistent with, and, you know, let people know you by how fair you are and how objective and just and righteous you are. If you want to represent the future that you want and create momentum, plant a seed of your behavior, knowing that it may take years before anything fruits off of it, then you want to present yourself knowing that you're objective. And that doesn't mean you don't have your own opinions. That just means knowing what it is to be objective and just trying to implement it in your life because you know it's the right thing to do. I'm not saying take it to an extreme, you know, but I mean recognize it and do what the truth leads you to do. I mean, people are living in totally different worlds. They are in totally, you know, some philosophies or metaphysical thoughts have been, you know, what if we all create our own reality, but we're all living in the same reality, so what I create might mess with other people's things, and how would that all work? Well, we're finding out how it's working, actually. That is not so far-fetched. That's actually what's happening right now. And we are messing with other people, and they are messing with us, and we are collaborating with other people. That is what's happening. It's just happening on a very slow scale, you know. And so, yeah, that's a great question. What do you do with that? Well, I think you try to build somewhat objective reality and not saying be part of the Borg, but understand those rights that do unify us, but it unifies us on our individuality. So it's kind of a paradox. The thing that unites us all, you would think something that unites everything takes away individuality, but it actually, if that thing uniting all is respecting the individual, then that's good. And so when you think about stuff that you don't agree with and that you think there should be a law for that, that shouldn't be the question whether you think there should be a law about that. The question should be, what should be the punishment about that? Because it's easy to say there should be a law about that, but what's the punishment that comes with that law? We'll say, you know, cannabis or hemp should be illegal. This is a good example because we could have, you know how there's a Vietnam Memorial? There could be a Okay, folks, I'm back. It looked like I got disconnected. Luckily, with the technology on my studio board here, it showed that that happened, and I called right back. So I guess there's about a one-minute intermission. But what I was saying is there could be a drug war memorial. How many fathers, how many mothers, how many brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, parents, daughters, sons, lives have been affected by it? Millions. And how many has that accumulated over the last 30 years since Richard Nixon, or 40 years, about how many trillions of dollars has it cost when you accumulate it over, you know, 3 to 4 decades? And how many lives have been incarcerated, how much lost potential, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to ask yourself, do you think that should be illegal? You should really ask your, most people who think that should be illegal don't think it should ruin someone's life. So you have to ask them the real question, the one that has impact, what should be the punishment for doing that? You know, and what do you think the punishment should be? Should they be killed? Should they be beaten? Should they be taken away from their family? Should they have to spend years in jail? Should their job be lost? Should they have a record? Should any of these things happen to them? At all. I don't think any of those things are fair. I think they should just be left alone. You know, they shouldn't be pushing it on anyone else. You know, maybe in public they shouldn't be doing that except at certain bars and clubs or certain away places. But, you know, or near schools or whatever. But, I mean, it has totally ruined lots of people's lives. And so that's the momentum. I mean, if we keep going the momentum of debts, having the largest incarceration percentage and numbers of any country in the world, we're supposed to be the freest country in the world, but we have the highest amount of people in prison. If you think that's okay, you know, you need to be reached out to and have a seed set of the momentum of freedom and what life is all about. I mean, another problem is people who take their jobs too seriously. People in our government who live under a quota. Quota, I have to have this many arrests. I have to, you know, I can't let this person go. I have to do everything by the book. And someone's always watching me, and I can't be a human being. Jeez, bend the rules. I mean, you know, grow up. Don't be afraid to be fired. Don't be afraid to stand up. Don't be afraid to fight for justice. And if someone does give you a hard time, like a manager, then get a lawyer. I mean, you know, people should support people who do that. You know, so, you know, I've been there. I mean, I've taken my job real seriously to the point where I'm just by the rules and making people wait and unnecessarily and just not even being able to talk like a regular person. I mean, it's tough. I mean, sometimes people do take themselves too seriously at certain points in their life. And you should take yourself seriously and freedom seriously. I mean, how do you imagine the world in 50 years, sucked dry by parasitical special interests that don't give a damn about objective reality, just their subjective bank accounts, or people that, you know, care about themselves but also care about, you know, creating a future that has advancements from, you know, the Magna Carta to the Bill of Rights to the freedom that we recognize now. And so thank you for listening to this on the cloud, the internet. That's another thing that just, you know, a little pet peeve is, you know, this new word, the cloud, not a big deal, but all it is the internet. So if you're one of those people who are like, what is, like, at first I was like, what is the cloud? The cloud, yeah, it's nothing more than just the internet. Of course. Instead of looking at it as a internet, like a web, like a spider web, now there's a neat new picture, just a bunch of happy clouds, and that shape shift into lots of different things. So, sorry to let you know, if there's been any spoilers here. This is the future. Just build a little bit of momentum every day, just the smallest amount of momentum. Just build it. Just do something and be surprised and just do that consistently and add to it. You'll just naturally want to add to it, because once you start that low momentum, that seed, that principle, it is going to ripple around it. Just watch and see. You have to just start with that little momentum, and it's all about momentum. Anything that you're trying to accomplish in life, it's about building momentum, and you can do that in the smallest way, and it's going to ripple out. That's it. And so we're going to, you know, fight for our right to not take it anymore. And thank you for listening to the Philosophy Show. We'll talk to you next week. And take care.
They were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.